In a world where technology and magic collide, Kress reimagines classic fairy tales against the backdrop of interplanetary conflict. This third installment in Marissa Meyer's Lunar Chronicles series follows Kress, a brilliant hacker imprisoned in a satellite orbiting Earth. As a shell, a lunar without mind control abilities, she's been exploited by the tyrannical Queen Levana for her technical skills. Meanwhile, cyborg mechanic Lynn Cinder, secretly the rightful heir to Luna's throne, leads a ragtag crew of fugitives planning to overthrow Levana before her marriage to Emperor Kai cements her power over both worlds. For 7 years, Kress has been imprisoned in a satellite, her only companion a small AI she programmed herself. Her crime? Being born a shell with extraordinary hacking abilities that Queen Levana exploits through her thaumaturge, Mistress Sybil. Behind her facade of compliance, Kress actively protects Cinder's ship by scrambling signals and redirecting surveillance satellites. She's compiled extensive files on the Rampian crew, developing a particular fascination with Captain Carswell Thorne. In her isolation, she's transformed his criminal record into evidence of heroism, imagining him as the dashing rescuer who might someday free her from her technological tower. What makes this story captivating isn't just its sci-fi reimagining of Rapunzel, but how it weaves together themes of identity, freedom, and the courage to defy the roles we're assigned. As these unlikely heroes face impossible odds, they discover that true power comes not from magical gifts or royal blood, but from compassion, sacrifice, and the choices we make when everything is at stake. When Kress contacts the Rampian crew, revealing she's been their invisible guardian, they plan a rescue. However, Mistress Sybil traps them, immobilizing Thorne and sending the satellite plummeting toward Earth with him and Kress inside. Simultaneously, Sybil attacks the Rampian, turning Wolf against his friends and kidnapping Scarlet to Luna. Their only hope comes from an unexpected ally, a lunar guard who shot Sybil and claims to serve the princess. The satellite crashes in a vast desert, leaving Kress and now blind Thorne stranded. For Kress, who has never experienced Earth directly, the boundless landscape triggers panic attacks. Despite his blindness, Thorne maintains composure, fashioning makeshift shoes for Kress from towels and hair rope. She guides him physically while he steadies her emotionally. As water dwindles, Kress collapses after chasing a mirage and confesses her love for Thorne in her delirium. Desert traders eventually rescue them. Through this ordeal, Kress discovers hidden strength, while Thorne reveals compassion beneath his roguish facade. On Luna, Scarlet becomes a pet to a young lunar boy who torments her with hallucinations of insects inside her body. Though illusions, her brain perceives them as real, making the torment genuine. During interrogation by Queen Levana and Sybil, Scarlet defiantly mentions Michelle Benoit protecting a little girl. Enraged, Levana orders Sybil to force Scarlet to mutilate herself. Just before she cuts off her own finger, Princess Winter, Levana's stepdaughter, interrupts, requesting Scarlet as her pet. Scarlet later awakens in a menagerie, missing a finger and caged near a white wolf. The beautiful but unstable Winter reveals she hasn't used her glamour since age 12, explaining her madness, a consequence lunars face when refusing their bioelectrical gifts. Through Scarlet's captivity, we witness Luna's casual cruelty and mind manipulation power dynamics while discovering potential allies against Levana. Her suffering reveals vital information about Luna, essential to Cinder's revolution. In Farafra, Dr. Erlin treats Wolf while telling Cinder that Luna's citizens must support her claim. More alarming, he reveals Latomasis is mutating. Lunars may lose their immunity. In Kufra, Kress is kidnapped by traders who traffic lunar shells. She's sold to Dr. Erland, who takes her blood sample before they recognize each other as allies, just as Thorne arrives to rescue her. The most profound revelation comes when Dr. Erland discovers Kress is his daughter, taken after being identified as a shell. Their reunion is immediately shadowed by tragedy. He has contracted leptomatosis. Father and daughter share a heartbreaking farewell. Dr. Erland reveals the plague was biological warfare from Luna to weaken Earth and create dependency on their antidote. Shell's blood contains valuable antibodies, making them both politically disposable and medically exploitable. These revelations reshape our understanding of the Earth-Luna conflict, showing how personal and political tragedies intertwine. With the royal wedding approaching, Cinder's crew plans to kidnap Emperor Kai before Levana becomes Empress. Their goal? Travel to Luna and incite rebellion, using Kai as leverage and ally. During the palace infiltration, Mistress Sybil appears and controls Wolf, turning him against them. Cinder attacks Sybil directly, probing her bioelectrical field, a mental assault that drives Sybil to madness. The crew escapes with the unconscious Emperor, leaving Jason behind. When Kai awakens aboard the Rampion, his anger dissolves as Cinder reveals, "It's me, Kai. I'm Princess Selene." Their reunion is interrupted by devastating news. Levana has massacred their allies in Farafra, and lunar ships are invading Earth. Cinder resolves, "I'm going to Luna, and I'm going to start a revolution." This kidnapping represents both triumph and troubling escalation, forcing Cinder to confront her capacity for cruelty and her responsibility to both worlds. The desert ordeal transforms both Cress and Thorn profoundly. Earth's vastness triggers Cress's panic attacks after a lifetime confined, yet she finds unexpected strength while guiding blind Thorn across the dunes. When she collapses and confesses her love, Thorn suggests her feelings might stem from him being her first male encounter, promising a kiss worth waiting for if they survive. Despite blindness, Thorn maintains composure, crafting makeshift shoes and showing genuine compassion as he reframes their situation as an adventure. Their interdependence, she as his eyes, he as her emotional anchor, creates a partnership transcending their pasts. Meanwhile, Cinder grapples with her growing power's moral implications after mentally attacking Sybil. She faces an uncomfortable truth. She possesses the same abilities that make Levana dangerous. In crisis, each character's true nature emerges. Cress, more than a helpless dreamer, Thorn, more than a self-serving criminal, and Cinder confronting what kind of ruler she wants to become. As Cress concludes, characters must choose their identities rather than accept assigned roles. Cress transforms from sheltered dreamer to survivor, Thorn from self-serving criminal to self-sacrificing ally, while Cinder struggles with power without becoming like her aunt. Meyer suggests that strength comes from choices made during crisis, not magical gifts or royal bloodlines. True heroism lies in choosing compassion over cruelty, sacrifice over self-interest, and truth over comfortable lies. Cinder's revolution challenges both Levana's tyranny and limiting societal roles. This is perhaps the most powerful fairy tale, that we can rewrite our own stories, that our pasts don't determine our futures, and that our choices matter even amid mind control and genetic manipulation. As the Rampion heads toward Luna with Earth's kidnapped emperor and Luna's rightful heir, we're reminded that profound revolutions begin with individuals brave enough to defy the stories they've been told about themselves.